Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's your girl Cotton Campbell and the ladies of TMGN. We have Lucy, Trisha B, and Lady J, a.k.a. Lady Justice. So I just want y'all to know that this is, of course, a sensitive topic for, I'm sure, anybody that's going through this again. Before I get started, I want to send some hugs, loves, and prayers to Shaquille Shankill Robinson's Shaquilla Robinson. Oh, they got her name all kind of different ways. Shaquilla Robinson's family, the young lady who died in Mexico by the hands of her friends, and I'm doing air quotes, by her friends, because as we know, you gotta be careful who we call friends these days. I definitely want to talk about that. But our topic tonight is abuse, alcohol abuse, and how it's destroying or killing some of our young people, and how we can help them, what can we do to change that dynamic altogether. You know, I always vote for raising the age limit, changing the age limit for everything, because, you know, young people at 21, you barely know, you just barely getting off the breast milk. You don't know nothing about being responsible with alcohol and things like that. So, yeah, some of them. Anyway, I'll just say it that way. But I did some research on some things. I'm waiting for my other co-host to come in. So I'm just chatting, chatting. So I did some research on underage drinking, and things of that nature. So what I found is that with underage drinking, it's more likely than not, the young people who indulge, they start having problems with school. They start being more absent. Their grades drop. You start having social problems. So they're more likely to be in fights, or they lack participation, legal problems, physical problems such as like hangovers or illnesses, unwanted and unplanned or unprotected sexual activity, disruption of normal growth or sexual development, physical and sexual violence. Like, the list goes on and on and on, and you can definitely find that. So let me also say this in the beginning of this show. The California, because I'm in California, so the California Alcoholic Addiction Helpline is 855-955-0771. So if you want to get help and you just want to be anonymous with the help prior to maybe speaking to someone, you can definitely call that number, 855-955-0771. So let's just speak on Shaquilla Robinson very quickly. So according to some of what I read, they had been drinking. So this is why since we're on this topic of alcohol abuse, these kids or these young people, they get into drinking heavily, or they get drunk. I'm one who don't like to be drunk, and I'm the age I am. Okay, I don't like the feeling. I don't know why anybody does. It's a horrible feeling. At any rate, this young lady was 25 years old. From my understanding, the young lady was born a man. So, but was at that point living her life as a woman. She was 25. She went to Mexico with her friends, a group of her friends. And the very next day, according to what I read and what the mom says, they went there one day. The very next day, her daughter was dead. And the mother got a call from the friends, air quotes again, that she had alcohol poisoning, feeling well. So they was making up all these horrible stories about this young lady to try to cover their tracks, which they did a poor job of that because, of course, the autopsy is always going to show what really happened. I don't know what these kids were thinking at all. So it looks like I have two of the three co-hosts, two of the three other co-hosts available. Hey, 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 it's your girl, Cotton Campbell. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Cotton, it's Lucy.
Hey, we got Lucy on the line, y'all. Y'all say hi to Lucy.
Good evening, everyone. Hey. Thank you for having me, Cotton. Thank you for having me tonight. Yes, I heard about this story as well. It's really sad.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm going to bring Lady Justice in as well. I think she's... Hey, Lady Justice. Now, she's out, so she may not be able to talk to us the whole time because I know she's busy.
Hey, Chris?
Yes, I hear you now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Hey, Lady J.
Hey, Lucy Lou.
How are you, beautiful?
I'm awesome. How about you?
I am doing well. I'm happy to be here this evening.
Well, I'm happy you're here this evening to hear your voice. That means you're doing well.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I'm feeling good tonight, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Did you want to add to what, did you find out something about this young lady's story, case, Lucy?
I wasn't aware of like the information that I have is just pretty much what I've seen online and, you know, in the news. And I know that it's very tragic. And for a mother, you know, being a mom and not knowing what happened to your child and just, you know, the gut-wrenching, you know, things that are coming up in the videos that's surfacing, like, it's just not only, you know, tragic how, you know, this poor woman lost her life, but the fact that it's just being resurfaced all over the world. And I think that that's, like, you know, just adding more sadness to this entire situation that this family and these loved ones have to keep reliving this.
Yeah,
and still not even having real answers on what happened to their baby.
Right. Well, the disturbing part is we have quite a few of our young people out there who think that what was happening in this video is supposed to be the norm. They are literally normalizing this type of behavior, and it is not.
Yeah.
It should not feel normal to you to want to fight somebody or beat up on someone. And granted, they were drunk or they have been a little intoxicated, from my understanding, from what I've read, they have been drinking. But if you can't hold your liquor, stop drinking. So I watched a little bit of the video. Every time I go to try to watch it, you know, there's an interruption somewhere. But I did watch the little snippet that I did see, and for them to be instigating and egging on them to fight when clearly the young lady did not want to fight. I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what I would do if that was my child. I would be ready to fight everybody in the room. Literally.
Yeah.
So I don't, and this is why I always ask my girls, are you sure they're your real friend? Like, you ever felt a little sketchy, you know, and you say, you know, because women, there are people out there, I won't just say women, there are people out there that will be having holding grudges against you, underlying grudges against you to set you up for something just like that. Because they're also, the theory is that she was set up because the very next day the very next day after they get to Cabo, this happens.
Yeah. So this is what I said when I first heard the story. I expressed this to my sister, actually, and my husband and I also talked about it. I felt like there was all the intent was to do harm to her down there. Like, I just feel it felt premeditated. Like, it just doesn't seem like just some random thing. Like, they just, it just felt like there was a viciousness and just a hatred and an evilness of this, like you said, Cotton, like, you know, set up, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know details. I don't know the story. I just know my gut. And I'm like, there are just pieces of the story that just do not make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Lady J, did you have something you want to add to that?
You know I have something to add. So when I looked at the video and then when I heard that everybody came back and people started talking to the mom, what's the first thing I told you, Cotton? Everybody ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that came home and my daughter didn't ass kicked. I'm not hearing nothing.
Yep.
Went together. I told y'all how I feel about that type of stuff in the first place. There's no way all you guys are going to go out there and she's going to be the only one getting drunk and getting beat up and nobody's doing anything about it. Friends, I told my kids a long time ago, you don't have none of them.
I'm your friend.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm here. If somebody going to take the life from you, I'm going to be the one to do it.
I think
that's
it's important.
That's one of the reasons why when my middle daughter turned 21, I was the first one to introduce her to alcohol. And how I did it was I went to the store and I bought all those little different types of alcohol, the little tester ones, a couple of dollars.
Yeah, the dollar ones.
Yes, ma'am, and put them on them some little skewers, like kebab skewers, and put them in a vase. And the vase looked real pretty. And it looked like a bouquet of alcohol.
Yeah.
And then I bought some aspirin, and I bought all the stuff that you could take to recover. And I started talking to her. About what to mix, what not to mix. Now, if she does something different when she goes out, that's on her. But guess what? I did my part. And those friends, not their part.
Exactly. Exactly, Lady J. And I think that that's the most disheartening part of the story is that you were with a group of people that you were supposed to trust or, you know, as like at being told is that you were with, you know, that she was with friends. She was with a group of friends, you know, and so it's like you don't know, you know, you go on girls' trips all the time and sometimes if you go on a girls' trip or a ladies' trip, Cotton, you probably know. And Lady J, like, you know, if you go on a girls' trip, you might not know if there's 12 of you. You might not know everybody. Like, I might not know Sally as well as I know, you know, I don't know, Heather or, you know, Susan. Or I may not know. There's different, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I may not know someone as well as I know another person. But there's got to be somebody in that group that is making a conscious decision. And you cannot tell me that she was surrounded around no one that helped her, no one.
Right.
Not only did she not get any help, but it was recorded.
Right. Two different people recorded it.
And they watched
two different friends recording it, yeah.
I have a problem with people sitting there recording shit. That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
You're condoning.
Not one person should do it. Mhm. Yep. You're condoning the behavior. Because not one person says y'all stop. It feels like you said, it feels like a setup. But there's definitely alcoholism involved. And it's like, okay, when do we start saying, okay, that's enough? Like, when do you put limits on how much you consume instead of just consuming it because you can? at some point you have to be responsible for your behavior or,
yeah.
you know, for
yeah.
the things leading up to that. I can't. Yeah, I can't.
And
maybe the mother or the being responsible part. Huh?
Absolutely.
They're guilty until proven innocent at this point for me. All they ask is to kick. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they're all guilty.
I'm mad like it's my kid. All they ask is to kick right now. And if they mamas want to come, we can handle that too. I have no problem with that because at this point, this is ridiculous. And it just continues to happen. And we need to stop. As women, we need to stop it.
I mean, cause exactly like you said, Lady J and Cotton, at some point you have to understand that you are your only best advocate. You have to know that no matter what environment you go into, you never let your guard down 100%. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to advocate for yourself. You are not in an environment that you know. You are not amongst a lot of people that you know. It's just always important to just know that to never 100% let your guard down. And there are many situations where we find ourselves where we find ourselves in a particular situation where things just happen. You know, the world that we live in, things happen, you know. But it makes it a lot harder when our guard is just not 100% down, you know.
Right. You gotta take some responsibility for how you behave and the things that you do at the end of the day. It can't just be on other people. And know how to get out of situations and know when your friends aren't being your friends.
Yeah.
Because that's a horrible situation, but I feel so bad for her mom. I feel bad for
family.
Her mom.
Yeah,
because I can't imagine my daughter going, "No, mom, I'm going to Texas," and then she don't come back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the family.
Person,
I know the family just want answers.
I'm sorry.
Say that again, Lady K.
Has the person that was fighting with her been identified?
That I don't know.
I believe so. It was one of the other ladies.
That she went with?
Yeah, that she went with.
What's going on with her? Do we know anything? Like, cause she's
Look, best friend is like, when we gonna talk to her? Because that's the one I need to talk to. Because the way that they were saying,
yes.
She slung her around and she was punching her, and that's how she got her fractures in her spine was messed up in her, and I think she had a fracture in her head or something. It's like,
Where's she at?
Who steps up? That's a good question. That's a very good question. And this happened.
Started, like her.
Yeah. But you just left her there, though. That's the other part. You left her. After y'all killed her, you got on a plane and said, well, it's time for our vacation's over. Let's get on back to what? That's what we do?
Best friend.
What does that?
Best friend. That's why I said first, everybody's ass is kicked, period.
Mm-hmm.
Just off GP of that. And then we can get to the person that actually did it if her ass ain't kicked enough by then. I'm trying to tell you. I'm that mama. Y'all better quit playing with these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very tragic. We have Miss Patricia B on the line with us. Ladies, our other host of the show.
Hi, ladies. Hi.
Hey.
How's everybody doing?
We're good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It's a lot. I'm doing a lot better than I was probably a few days ago, but I'm here. I'm here. So what I wasn't listening. I apologize. I was looking and I seen that you guys were already on here. I'm like, oh goodness. So are we talking about?
Yeah, so the topic of the show is actually about alcohol abuse and our kids abusing alcohol. But what's open that is Shankilla Robinson's death, because according to what I read, they were all drinking prior to them getting into the fight and then her dying. So, did you have something you wanted to add to that, Patricia? Hello?
I think her call.
Hello?
I think her
call did drop. Oh, here she comes. Her call did drop.
Can I hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you now.
Okay. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. My apologies.
It's okay. No, I was asking, did you have anything you wanted to add to what we were talking about as far as Shankilla Robinson is concerned?
And when the phone got disconnected, that's exactly what I was asking, that you all were talking about her. I can only imagine, but I caught part of what Lady J said about ass kicking. Your asses will definitely be kicked in that order, just exactly, first of all, everyone, from the least, responsible to the most responsible. I don't care if you got there 2 minutes late. I don't care, excuse me, trying to do damage and trying to make yourself look good, the one who videotaped it, the ones that were standing in the background on the side over there watching this happen. I mean, when I just caught wind of it literally yesterday. I've been off work, with the flu and stuff. So I've been at home and I've been catching up on a lot of stuff. And this happened, 2 weeks ago or something? But I just saw it yesterday. And I'm like,
yeah,
who is this? What happened?
Yeah.
And then
it
I saw a video of that girl fighting her, and I'm like, she was naked. I'm like, what's going on? She wasn't fighting back. So it pissed me off. I'm still mad about it. I'm all into it. Like, I'm one of these, what they call them, they say, all you Facebook detectives, because I'm trying to find out, like, what happened. Like, why did y'all do that to her?
So, Patricia, you guys are saying that the videos and everything just surfaced, but this has happened prior.
Yeah, it happened 2 weeks ago, but the video, but the story just started going viral yesterday.
I think that is what baffles me, and what is tragic about this is that this is somebody's life that was lost, a young Black woman. And this, I don't understand. Like, it's just now surfacing, and it's just now coming to light after 2 weeks.
Well, the parents said they want answers. So it's like, we want answers. Somebody better do something.
Absolutely, they want answers.
Can I intervene real quick, you guys? I just want to ask everybody one thing, please, just for hearing sake, because whenever you're not talking, whatever's in your background, we can hear on the radio. So if you're not talking, just mute yourself, and then when you get ready to speak again, just unmute yourself. Please. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lady J.
Yes. I think alcohol attributes to a lot of this bad and toxic behavior that some of our youth happen to be a part of. I did send you, ladies, some information on alcoholism. So the one of the things that I didn't even know existed, never heard of it before, is polysubstance. Does anybody know what polycystic is?
I've heard of it before, yeah.
Okay. So
no,
for those of you who don't know, in internet land, polysubstance use is when two or more substances are used together or within a short time period. So if I, you know, have some vodka now and then maybe some Vicodin or something in 10 minutes, that's called polysubstance. And so people, or you can do like some people do, they would mix something in their marijuana or something like that, or dip the stick thing down. I don't know what's called, y'all. They dip the stick thing down and call it a wet. I think it's called wet, right? I think I got that right.
Yeah. Embalming fluid, but the street name is wet.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
For a while.
What'd you say, Patricia?
No, I was saying that also called PCP.
Yeah, PCP.
Yeah, so anything that you use to, any two substances that you use together or simultaneously within a short period of time, it's called polysubstance. I didn't even know such a thing exists. And so they're saying...
Yeah.
So polysubstance can increase, it, when it's involving alcohol, can increase the chance of health risks like overdose, injuries, violence, risky sexual behavior, chronic disease, and things like that, which is, you know, I don't know about you all, but for me, I have to have some type of 2-drink minimum, you know. Depending on the drink. And I won't allow anybody to peer pressure me into doing something that I don't want to do, especially when it comes to alcohol or drugs. And I don't know, what experiences have you all had? Like, I think, I know you have teenagers, Lucy. I know when my daughter came in one day and she said, they was doing shots on my belly, because she's like a size 0, right? And, you know, immediately I was like, what? They said, what? Who is these people? Like, I want to know who they are and why was they doing shots? Mom, it's just something we do. You know, and it's funny because my children who drink, and they drink a little bit more than they do now, but they've scaled back their drinking because they've had some type of experience or epiphany that put them in a situation that they were uncomfortable in. Nothing that would have, that they were going to die from, anything like that. But it's kind of that. So what experiences have you ladies have, or if you know anybody that has been through something like this, and what would you tell them to do? Like, what advice would you give some random child who is deciding to, that they want to be over, abuse alcohol? Lucy? Hello?
Well, yeah, I'm here. So from my personal experience, you know, having teenagers and having daughters, you know, I didn't really deal with, you know, if they were drinking when they were in school and underage, because, you know, they said in high school and elementary, like middle school is really the age where kids start drinking. And the statistics on that is proof that kids are drinking younger, like they're getting, you know, I don't know how they're getting it, but they are drinking younger and younger. These kids are going to middle school, you know, with, you know, full fifths of alcohol. And so the younger, you know, this younger generation, it has become something that is just that they do. I asked my daughter and her friend the other day, what does she think? She's 19. And I asked her, I said, you know, how do you think alcohol portrays to your generation right now? And she was like, you know, everybody's drinking. Like, that's, you know, she's like, everybody's drinking, and she's like, some of, you know, she sees, you know, people get, they get, these girls get sloppy drunk where they can't stand up, they can't walk, you know, and it's just, it's scary because, you know, growing up, you know, we were raised, you know, you stick together, you, a buddy system, you know, you don't leave anyone, you don't, if we come together, we lead together, you know, that's what it is. And that, you know, it has gotten so relaxed now, and it's like, you know, well, she says she's fine, and, you know, because people are like, you have to be able to hold yourself accountable for the way that you act when you're in public, the way that you carry yourself, you know, knowing your limit. As you say you have a 2-drink, you know, limit. I, you know, I can barely get two drinks now. Age catches up with you. You know, when you start drinking, it catches up with you when you get older. You can't handle it like you could when you were younger, you know, not that this generation, they have like cast iron stomachs or something. They're handling it like, they handling it like pros. And it's just, it's not fun. No, it's like, I've seen some of these kids drink grown men under the table. You know, functioning alcoholics out here, and you know, mixing the medicines and things like that. That's how that is the highest rate for it, the accidental overdoses in our society.
Sure. And I think for a lot of people, everybody thinks that they have it under control until they don't. It's like, you know, because once it goes in your system, it's hard to get it out. Like you gotta be very creative to get it out of your system. And so you gotta be careful. We have Lucy back on the line. Did you want to add to that, Lucy?
No, I just, like I said, you know, I think that, you know, I think that we need to hear from the, you know, from the generation and what they think, you know, and how they feel. I think that's important for them to understand what we're wrong. Because I think everybody has questions about this story and about how, you know, this young lady lost her life, and just the tragic of the video, the surfacing around, like, you know, Patricia said, she's like, and Lady J, they fight, you know, you want to hurt somebody behind, you know, doing harm to your child, and then in the way that it was done, you know, with such, you know, disgrace, like hatred. And that is the world that we live in, where there is no, I don't think that some of the things that are being done, we're not thinking about what we're doing. We're just doing it. And we're not thinking about the cost that, and the price that we have to pay for the decisions that we make and the blood that we get on our hands.
Right. No one wants to be held accountable. You know, you gotta be held accountable for your actions at the end of the day. Patricia, was there something you wanted to add to that?
Just overall with the experience of, you know, alcohol, honestly, and I'll be transparent, I had my first drink when I was 16. And, you know, it was a thing for me that the people that I was hanging around, you know, you just felt like, oh, this is what I'm doing to be cool, to fit in. But then not only that, I started liking it, you know. And there's a thing that, you know, because we say, well, how do these youth get this alcohol? Because you have certain individuals out there that are grown, or should I say adults, you know, they're old enough to buy the liquor, and they give it, they do it for these children. They do it for these youth. They have connections. And sometimes, you know, it's been on the news, it's been in the papers about the parent parties where the parent wants to be the cool parent. So they host the house, they host the liquor, and they let all their kids' friends come over and hang out because they want to be the cool mom or the cool dad or whoever it is. So a lot of times, there wasn't
That's
any
very
supervision.
True.
So in this day, you have the supervision, but at the same time, they're upstairs. They said, well, we're going to stay up here, you know, let you all have a good time. But for me, I didn't have that supervision because of whatever reason. So I was able to, you know, be where I was at and do, you know, what I want, and I'm drinking. You know, my advice would be, you know, for a child that thinks that, because just like you said, nobody wants to take accountability. When you become drunk or you get inebriated, there is no accountability because your actions, your inhibitions are lower, your actions that you're not thinking. Like you said, it's depressing your brain cells, so it's making you stupid. You're doing stupid stuff. You're blacking out. You're throwing up. You're waking up the next day or the day after or the day after that, and you cannot function. It's disgusting, and I'm talking from a personal standpoint. I've seen it, oh, yes, on many people, but I'm talking about myself. I know from experience that it is a disgusting feeling when you have, you know, just overused something to the point where you are sick. And it happens the next, a few days after, you are still feeling the effects of stupid decisions made on Saturday night or Friday night. Because alcohol would be there. It would take some memory away, black out, and then you don't, you don't even know what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So I would say, dude, you know, I don't have to talk about nobody else. I'm a living witness of God saying, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. Because I don't know how I got home. I don't know how I drove home from that club. I don't know how I made it home back then. But I'm 38 now, y'all. I'm not 28. I'm not even 18. So a big difference of changing petitions than past, you know, drinking like that, because now I know better. I wish I would. No, I'm not.
Now you have
it's
it.
Sad.
It's
sad.
It's very sad.
And
when
kids do
sad.
It, they don't understand the consequences that come with that. So we gotta get on these babies. We gotta stop them from doing it. And I'm saying it from experience. They don't need it.
Right.
They don't need it at all.
That's very true. Let me give y'all the, like I said, I'm in California, so I'm kind of careful. Let me give you the addiction help hotline, just in case you want to give them a call if you're needing some help with alcoholism or alcohol addiction. The number is 855-955-0771, and it's 24/7. The call is free. If you're going through something and alcohol is the reason, give them a call. And they may be able to assist you. So, we need to do better by our children. And, you know, Tay, like you say, they don't want to be checked up on, but they need to be checked up on.
Absolutely.
They need to, I
stayed on my cotton and they hated it and I did not let up off their neck because I would have, you know, I know what the price is, you know, for not being that tough, you know, that tough of parent. And I beat myself up about it. I go back, you know, I think all parents do, you know, say what we could do and what we shouldn't do, what we, you know, need to do. We, you know, it's just something that we do as parents, you know. But if I knew that I was doing the right thing by keeping my daughters out the streets and, you know, not going to house parties, and not saying that any of those things were bad, but just knowing your environment and what, you know, they are ready to be exposed to and what they're not ready to be exposed. And I think that is what's important, and just knowing your child, you know, and knowing the situation. And I just, you know, I feel for this mother. I think that's my biggest thing. It's just I feel for her, grieve for her, because I can only imagine, you know, what she's going through. You know, losing a child is just something that's just never something that you want to do. And,
right.
You know, my family's been personally affected by that, you know, and I just, the way it happened, you know, it's just so tragic, Cotton. And I think that it was really important that we talk about the about alcohol abuse and how it can, you know, it can just lead to so many dangerous things. And when it's not meant to be a bad thing, it's just when it is not responsible and you're not responsible with it, you know, you don't know what your limitations are, it leads to, it can lead to things that are, can be cash, you know, catastrophic. So
yeah, or set limitations for yourself, especially when you're out, especially when you're not at home. There should be, you should have a two drink minimum or two or one drink minimum or whatever it is, but you got to set limits for yourself.
Know your limits.
You're out and about because you never know.
And I was just, I was so blessed. I give that to God, you know, totally in my faith, you are, because you never know who you're around. And like I said, I was just thinking, like, wow, all the situations that I've been through, when I saw this topic, I'm like, I could speak on this, you know, from personal experience. And then still standing here, you know, just realizing that it's a problem, you know, in our society nowadays, because you have enablers that are going to allow people, you know, allow these youth, allow children, minors, under 21, because if you're not 21 years old, if you choose to drink or partake, you should not be consuming or buying alcohol.
Right.
So we have to do better, you know, limits and laws and boundaries and just all the things, and let them know. Like, I'll be honest, you know, with my son, he's 16. You know, I have a teenager. He's a junior this year. And he, I mean, honestly, he's witnessed some things in our younger years together. So now that he's older, we've had so many conversations, and I had to tell him, like, you know, I know you seen your mom doing some stuff, you know, in a state of mind that I wouldn't, you know, ever want him to catch me like again. So you also got to be transparent, and you have to talk to your children. You have to talk, you know, to your youth, whether it's a niece, you know, that comes to you and says, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Don't, you know, turn them away. Talk to them, because sometimes you do have children that will come and talk to you before they do something, or they might have done it once already. And even though my mom worked a lot and I had that free time, she knew how to snap back then. And like I said, I think that was God even, you know, allowing her to be like, hey, I know that I'm working. You know, my dad's in prison. My daughter's, you know, she's watching her two younger siblings. So I had responsibilities. So I felt like I was grown. That's why I thought I could drink. But she came back and said, hey, what are you doing? She did get on my neck. So I'm thankful that even though she was, you know, not always there at the moment that I was doing stuff, she had enough sense to come back and tell me, like, hey, whatever you're doing, I heard. She knew. I couldn't even hide it from her. So she worked hard, but she still said, hey, you know, stop it. Get out of high school. Graduate. You know, so I had that, you know, mom that did care. You know, it just felt to me like nobody cared because everybody's gone. So if we get that opportunity, you know, tell your kids, it doesn't matter, take up on them, call them, say what you have to say to them, you know, tell them the ugly truth, be transparent, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped me from going down even worse path than I could have done. I have a grandfather who died from alcoholism, you know, drunk a fifth of vodka a day. So it's serious.
Very serious.
And he will buy you your own. Don't ask out of that sense. No. Oh, but you can, yeah, we'll get you a drink, but that's serious. That is too much alcohol for one person. But it makes you like that. So we got to get on it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just passionate about this because, like I said,
no.
I'm a living living.
No, it's okay. Cause I know from experience that some youth that go on to abuse alcohol is because it was taught in their own family. And they don't like the way it makes them feel. It's like, yeah, you can't keep doing this.
And I can feel that. I can't keep doing this because then, you know, my husband said something to me, you know, a while back, and he was just like, and what he said and the way he looked when he said it, because it was just, like I said, one of them moments. And I said, and I told myself, I said, I can't keep doing this because you think you're having a good time. And it's like, am I having a good time? Are you having a good time? Because the stuff that happens
right
afterwards is horrible. You fighting with, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So really, is that the only method of having a good time? I digress.
Right. Lady Justice, you still there? Did you want to elaborate on that?
Yes, I'm still here. So for me, I kicked my first streak when I was 16, and it was because I had an older sister. And, you know, she took me out one night, and they went to this party, and my sister gave me some drink, and whatever it was got me sick the whole night. So from then on, I never was really a drinker. And then I also experienced a lot of alcoholism inside the family, you know, like uncles, aunts, everybody was drinking. My dad was a DJ, so, you know, we had parties on the weekends, and they had an open bar at the house, so they sold liquor. And I just was around it so much and watched the things that people did. You know, like I would wake up in the morning and my dad would say, well, you know, it's time to clean up. And he would pay us all. He would pay us all the kids that had to clean up. He would pay us $100 to clean the house up and go outside and pick up all the trash from all the so-called grown folks, you know, tearing up the place. And I would go in the bathroom and there'd be poop all over the walls and tissue all over the place. And as a little kid, I'm like, what in the world? Like, what is going on? Until I had that drink at 16, and I started getting sick. Like, I got it. I understood. Like, yeah, I don't want to feel like this. I don't ever want to go to somebody's house and go in the bathroom. And I don't know why they pooped all over in the toilet and in the bathtub. And I don't want to be like that. And then I had an uncle, one of my twin uncles, that, you know, he was one of those that had to have a drink. And people wanted him around, or they didn't, so they gave him money to go get a drink just to get rid of him. And, I, you know, sometimes people do it for the wrong reason. Like, they help you die, so to speak, all for the wrong reason, because they want you to get away from them or what have you. But he ends up, you know, like, in the middle of the street, and then my house in the ambulance say, hey, your uncle's outside and drunk. And I'd be like, man, look, there has to be some kind of intervention. I don't care if the person does not want to go themselves. If I am the family member and I am of sound mind and this person is in the street, might be about to get ran over, somebody in the family should be able to stand up. But the way they have it is if they don't want to go get any help, they don't have to. It wasn't until he went to the hospital like 100 times in 1 week that it became an issue. So why did it take so long? You see what I'm saying? As a family member, I should have, since they were bringing him to me, I should have had the opportunity to say, hey, he needs some help, and this is what we're going to do with him. You're bringing him to me. So there's some things that we need to change as far as policies and laws are concerned when it comes to your family members and people that you care about, if they're bringing them to you, to fix it.
I agree, Lady J. I 100% agree with that, Lady J.
Because if that was the case, I could have saved my uncle a long time ago, and he wouldn't have died from bad liver, you know, and alcohol issues. And schizophrenia, we could have got down to the bottom of it sooner than you saying, hey, you know what, you're using Medicaid now too much, and now it's starting a red flag, and so we're going to send you down here to Warrensburg, and you're going to be down here with all the other people that we think should get some help now. And then they allowed other people that weren't even family go up there and sign him out and bring him back to Kansas City. And then he was found on the street again. And where did they bring him? But to my house. Guess what I did? I went right to the person and said, if you go down there again and find my uncle out and something happens to him, guess who I'm coming for?
No, that's right.
Guess what happened? I bet you he didn't go down there again to get him. So there has to be three, or, you know, the family members to say, hey, enough is enough, and he needs to go.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
There are no laws in place to protect, you know, once a person becomes of age and if they are in need of assistance that they're not willingly able to, you know, go and get themselves, or, you know, they need someone to speak on their behalf unless, I mean, there's just no, like Lady J said, there's just nothing out there to protect, you know, someone to help their loved one. There just isn't. It doesn't exist.
Yep.
You have to go through like a bunch of red tape and like legally, you know, go through the court and, you know, there's just nothing out there. And there's just, I think that is just why there's so many people struggling, you know, in our community and in the world, because once they hit a certain age, there are no laws to protect the family or to help the family be able to help their loved ones.
Yep. Wow. So.
But back to the lady, everybody asked for it. Ain't changed with me.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody that went is guilty, and they're guilty and proven innocent on this case right now.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I'm gonna for the one who was fighting my daughter and the one who was sitting there holding the camera talking about you ain't gonna fight back. You ain't even gonna fight back. And you can hear it, you gonna say no.
Everybody who came back from the trip, knowing that she was already at her demise, should be charged.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying my opinion is that I'm gonna focus. I'm lasering in exactly on y'all too. Everybody is ahead of time, of course.
Exactly.
I'm going to say for the meet, I'm going for exactly who I know. You are following her,
right,
and you sitting there holding the camera. Yeah, the rest of y'all going to definitely get it, but y'all too going to get it the worst.
Absolutely.
And then you fighting my child, and then she sitting up and saying that she ain't going to fight back. She's not fighting back. She don't have no clothes on. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to get everybody. We're going down the line, most definitely. But we're gonna start with the first two contenders first. And in my opinion, it's y'all. The rest of y'all, you know, and that makes it worse because y'all just sitting there quietly. And then all y'all go back home.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well, ladies, we're winding down. We got a couple more minutes left for the show. I want to thank everybody who called in, who didn't speak, who did speak. But any final words on alcoholism and our children abusing it, ladies? Lucy? I know Lucy, like, why you keep calling me Lucy?
No, I think first and foremost is just drink responsibly. Know your limits, and you may not always know your the crowd that you're around, but just know your limit, know your boundaries, and just be responsible. Love each other and take care of one another. You know, this should have never happened. This should have never happened, and it's just another. It's another story. It's sad that this is becoming the normal. These headlines are becoming the normal, and I think that is the biggest thing. Is just
we need empathy back in this world, and to make sure that we take care of one another. If you guys leave together, you go together, you come back together. You know, if you see that your friend is at her limit, cut her off. If I don't care if you got to drag her out, drag her. Cut her off. Cut off. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just that is just what makes the most sense to me. You know, we should not have to continue burying our loved ones behind this.
Yeah, especially at such a young age. Lucy, did you have any final words? Any final? I mean, not Lucy, Patricia.
Lucy was just speaking, right?
Yeah. I meant Patricia. Patricia, did you have any final thoughts?
Because I know we were talking about, you know, child, children abusing alcohol, but just some signs, you know, some things that might have been covered, but, like, I had actually, like, I was reading some stuff, you know, prior to this, but I just got off track. But, you know, watch out for, you know, their changes in behavior, because anybody can get addicted to alcohol, but like this is said in the information that you shared with us, Titan, children make up a certain age group that, you know, disproportionately uses alcohol. But that means it's up to us, you know. Like Lady J said, the family members, you know, we got to be, you know, the village. So look out for, you know, them changing up, their attitudes changing, their skin changing. They don't want to participate in certain activities because, you know what, they're getting distant. They're getting easily irritated. So watch out for that stuff. Just be on the lookout. We got to be way more attentive, you know. Those are my final thoughts for now, but those are never my final thoughts. Just pay attention and say something. It's okay to be that strong voice. So what? People might not like what you're saying, and they might get mad at you for trying to help them. But do your due diligence and pay attention to when they start changing, because they're trying to get more alcohol. All they're doing is concerned with getting more alcohol. So
make sure
you watch what they used to do, and what, if they're not doing it no more, something's going on, and it might have to do with alcohol. So don't count it out.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Lady Justice, did you have any final thoughts?
My final thought for young and old, just because it's legal, don't be good for you. Know your and stick to them. Don't worry about who's around you. Hey, you got a drink, have your own little shop, little purse, have your own little what you have a purse.
I didn't forget that. I didn't forget, but I always say that. Anybody knew me, I always knew I had something, and that's good. Thank you, Lady J.
Yep. I'm glad you said that.
Okay. Again, I want to remind everybody that if you need to talk to somebody and you're abusing alcohol, you know somebody that's abusing alcohol, the California Alcohol Addiction Helpline is 855-955-0771, and it is free, and it is 24/7. So you don't have to give your name. No one has to even know that it's you calling. And so, but if you know somebody that needs help, get them some help. And if you that need the help, call that number, 855-955-0771. This is Let's Talk About It with your girl Cotton Campbell, Miss Lucy, Patricia B, and the one and only Lady Justice. We are the ladies of TMGN. Thank you for listening to our show. We were just talking about alcohol abuse amongst our young people. We want to get them as much help, or at least try to figure a way to minimize the alcohol use, so that some of the behavior will be different. My final thoughts and my final words is peace, love, and loyalty. God before man, spirit before flesh, and love before hate. tune in next week. We will be right here, same time, same channel, Blog Talk Radio, TMGN Network. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. Thank you, everybody who called in. Listeners, I know everybody doesn't want to raise their hand, but that's okay.
Yes.
Love you. Hey, thank you, Patricia.
Thank
you.
Thank y'all. Yes, it was a pleasure.
Always.
See y'all
all right. Make it up tonight.
See y'all next Thursday.
All right. Okay. Peace out.
Good night, good night, good night. We're going to take you out with this right here, y'all. Just a little bit. Just a little bit it is. Just a little bit it is. I'll be finding all the stuff, y'all. Don't pay me no mind. I love me some me. How about that?
He should never have said hello to me. This is what happens when he did. I want to know. I want to know what it's like to lay next to you and think of nothing. I want to know what it's like to watch you sleep. I want to know how many times your heart beats while you dream, if you snore while you sleep, if you think of me when you breathe. I want to peek at you while you shower. I want to steal your towel, hide in your closet just to be close to you. I want to peek through your window, sneak out your back door, hide in your car, be wherever you are. Spray your cologne on parts of my body because I need to have you with me at all times. You won't call the police because you enjoy my crazy. You need to feel needed. Somehow you feel completed. Because she hasn't been feeding and she don't even know that you're needing. I peek through your window, I stare when I see you. I hang out under your bed just to be near you. I sleep in your clothes and nobody knows my secret. Breakfast is ready for you to eat even though you're still asleep. You don't know for sure if it's even me, but you know I'm something you need. I'm your stalker, and I'm never too far away.